Good morning from me to you, and another welcome to you all, especially those who don't come regularly, because just to give a little bit more explanation about what we're doing today, we're looking at a theme which is about be renewed in your mind, be transformed by the renewing of your mind, as Paul says in Romans chapter 12, verse 2. And each of us who preach have been invited to choose a Bible character and use that character to illustrate this theme of having our mind renewed. I thought, who better to choose than the character who gave that exhortation to us in the first place? What's the evidence that Paul had a renewed mind as his life proceeded? How was he putting it into practice? And you may recall that the climax of Paul's life was conducted from prison. From that place he sent some letters. One of them was the book that we have called Philippians. So I've taken it upon myself to use Paul as an example in my presentation in January and in February and in March. I don't know about you, but I find managing my mind is one of the biggest challenges. Indeed, not only of the Christian life, but of life in general. As a person, as a man, as a husband, as a doctor, as a Christian, as a disciple, how often do we sabotage our progress by what goes on in our mind? So, what's Paul got to tell us? And I found three principles in the book of Philippians. I'm going to talk about one of them today, and the other two, you'll have to come back next month and the month after. The first one is the attitude of gratitude. There's a mouthful. When is gratitude a platitude and not an attitude? How can we renew our mind? I've changed my mind, said someone. Oh, does the new one work any better? What is the brain? An apparatus with which we think that we think. John Milton, a great poet of the English language, who was blind. The mind is its own place, and in itself can make a heaven of hell or a hell of heaven. As a positive invitation. When men will not weed their own minds, they are apt to be overrun with nettles. Quotation from Horace Walpole in 1779. If we have any historians, they may know something about that. Or Aldous Huxley, the author of Brave New World, he said, most of one's life is one prolonged effort to prevent oneself thinking. The human tongue is only inches from the brain, but when you listen to some folks, they seem miles apart. So, all sorts of thoughts people have had about the mind. Even yesterday I was doing a session in the Out of Hours department at a hospital where people were waiting 4 hours to be seen, and one patient saw me when she'd been waiting 2.5 hours, and she was troubled with her mind, and it was challenging to find some way of helping, but hopefully I did. And with another patient, even in the midst of this long wait, I was able to just get to the root of something that had been bothering them, and they were encouraged. How much our minds are involved in health? Very much, in fact, our attitudes and our responses. So, what's Paul up to? Attitude of gratitude. I chose the first 21 verses of this book to illustrate this. Now, just to expand a little bit on what Christine explained. She explained that in the second half of our time together, you'll have the opportunity to be creative. Now, a straw poll when someone is given the opportunity to be creative, how many people are full of enthusiasm and excited to think, yes, I would love to do that? And then there's a table at the back with art materials. And you see, I see a sea of hands here, waving in the breeze. How many people, when you're invited to be creative, oh, no, I'm not creative. And I'll only display how uncreative I am if I attempt it. Does anyone have that sort of thing? That's an attitude of mind, isn't it? And it does actually influence how creative we are. If we think we're not creative, we're going to make ourselves less creative. Whereas, fake it till you make it is one useful aphorism people use. If they think I'm going to create something, sometimes they do produce something that is quite worthwhile. Maureen is nodding. I never saw myself as creative, but hey, did you notice what I just said? How we see ourselves, very important element in our mind. If you see yourself in a certain way, that will influence how you make progress, what you try to do, and what you rule out, because no, can't see myself doing that. That would be a shame, wouldn't it, to rule out lots of lovely things, because at the moment we can't quite see ourselves doing it. What about having an expansion of our vision? Paul, in prison, it might have been house arrest, it might not have been a dungeon with daily beatings and total darkness, because he was able to write. But he was deprived of liberty, deprived of a lot of choices, certainly deprived of luxury. Nevertheless, in this book we have some of the most joyful verses in the whole Bible. What does he say in chapter 4, verse 4? By the way, if you've got a Bible, this would be useful, especially because when we come to do our creative bit, that you're all looking forward to more and more, I'm going to give you the choice. You can be involved in going to the back and drawing and colouring or writing something, or you can be involved in a creative Bible study. I will appoint some creative leaders to look at the text of Philippians and see where you find Paul's attitude of gratitude being displayed. And after a little while of that, we'll come back together again. It'll be, what do they call in school, a show and tell? So it's not just the children who go to the back, we're short of today, but all of us will have an opportunity to testify what we've thought about, what we've done, maybe show something we've written or drawn. Hence, you've all got the opportunity to write something because you've got a pen there and a post-it. For example, if you think of something you're really grateful for, you could put it on a post-it and you could perhaps stick it on the cross or at the foot of the cross. We sometimes honour the cross in that way. Or you may decide to look at the Bible text. So you've got a few options opening up. So Paul's circumstances. He was near the end of his life, which probably wasn't a very long life, maybe in his 50s. He was in prison. He possibly had eye trouble. We're not quite sure. But circumstances were not really the best. But he comes out with some tremendous stuff, doesn't he? If we look in chapter 1, our reading, he says, verse 3, I thank my God in all my remembrance of you. So he was choosing to be grateful for his memories of people. Always offering prayer with joy in my every prayer for you all. So what was the attitude that he prayed with? It was an attitude of joy. He decided every time he prayed for someone, it was with joy. So that would be a combination of happily remembering memories with the person, thanking God for what was good now, and thanking God for what he intended to do in their life. So joy in the past, present, and the future. There's a key for renewing our mind. And I've seen three kinds of things he was grateful for. Number one was God's grace and work. So number one, he was really seeing God in everything. He says, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus. He was seeing God's grace, in other words, God's generosity given to us without obligation and without having to be earned. He saw God doing that in everything. And verse 6, I'm confident of this very thing. He who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus. So that's good news. What God has started in you, he has pledged to continue throughout your life and to finish and to continue. He's going to complete it. You might feel like me when you look back on 50 years of Christian experience. What progress have I made? Actually, the good news is that God sees more progress than we do. Upon this I rely. Now, he has pledged to complete his work in us. It's actually even better to cooperate with God's work rather than resist it. That's a helpful tip, by the way. So God's grace and work, and in the middle of our passage, verse 11, he says, to the glory and praise of God. So he uses every opportunity to praise God for what's going on, to thank God. I'm giving you the opportunity in the second half of the service to think about the things that we're grateful for, the attitude of gratitude, and to write them down or draw them or tell someone else, or come and play a joyful song on the piano. Goodness knows what creative talents will be unleashed upon the keyboard. I'm H-A-P-P-Y. Yeah, that's good. So God's grace, that was the first element that he focused on. Secondly, circumstances. He chose to be grateful in circumstances. Verse 7, he says, I have you in my heart, both in my imprisonment and in the defence and confirmation of the gospel. You're all partakers of grace with me, and I long for you all with the affection of Christ Jesus. So even in his adverse circumstances, he identified with friends who'd perhaps gone through difficult circumstances, or who perhaps were in prison somewhere else, or who'd suffered with him, or who'd sacrificed in order to give him things, or maybe for whom he had made sacrifices. He identified with other folk. So his circumstances was an opportunity for gratitude. And in our passage, you may recall, we talked about fellow Christians who had not treated him well. Some are preaching Christ, verse 15, from envy and strife. Some of them do it to try and make my situation worse. You can't understand how Christians could treat each other like that, can we? I mean, we would never treat another Christian so unkindly, would we? We would never be jealous or try and impede their progress or be upset because they were doing better than we were, or they had gifts that we didn't have, or helping them not to become too proud so we just inject a little bit negative about them in our conversation, or whatever. All sorts of challenges there, but Paul was determined to be thankful and grateful for even the bad behaviour of other Christians. Great forgiveness there. And then the third thing I see Paul grateful for is relationships. So God's grace, circumstances, and relationships. Verse 3, I thank God in all my remembrance of you. So Paul, the example of cultivating relationships with people. He loved so many people. When you read some of his other letters, for example, the end of Romans, there's a long list of people he's sending greetings to, people that he's got a good relationship with. So perhaps I challenge you, what relationships could you build? Could you see positive elements in? How many people that you know could you encourage by telling them what you appreciate about them? Maybe that's something you might be writing on your bits of paper, some words of appreciation about somebody. So good old Paul, he seems to be putting it into practice because he's in the toughest of circumstances, and yet this whole book is shot through with these examples. Gratitude and happiness. Did you know that gratitude is good for your health? They did a scientific study, so we know it's true. Reported in a newspaper, so we know it's even truer. Happiness is both wanting what you have and having what you want. Wanting what you have and having what you want. sometimes we invest so much energy in trying to get what we don't have, wanting what we don't have, and that upsets us. What about cultivating the things we have got, turning those into things that we do want? So, for example, I've got a car which is it's large and it's comfortable. We bought it, in fact, so that we could convey my mother around. So the challenge for me is to keep on appreciating the comfort of that car. As it gets older and it gets less valuable and I get tired of it sometimes it doesn't work so well, expensive repairs, that sort of thing, I can overlook the fact that actually, yes, it's spacious, it's comfortable, it's warm, the heater usually works, the electric windows usually work, usually go up and down, it often starts in the morning. There's lots of good things about it, but you know, we just take things for granted, don't we? And we might be thinking about the next car that may be better, want it to be a bit faster or a nicer colour or better than my neighbours. But learning to love what we have, that's one of the keys to happiness, and it's the key to health and long life as well. So happiness is both wanting what you have and having what you want. So we could learn to want what we have, if you see what I mean. There's a bit of science. I won't blind you with too much science. I won't go on at length either, because we're coming to 11 o'clock. And what we thought was to reverse the service, so that what I present to you is just a kind of a few seed thoughts that you could then work on during the service. And then towards the end, we have the opportunity for what we call one-minute testimonies, which we usually have at the start. We ask people to reflect on what God's been doing in our lives and come forward. But you'll have plenty of opportunity to generate some one-minute testimonies over the next little while when you're together. So that will be very positive. And also, we may have a time of prayer together, which we will put into practice, with which we will put into practice Paul's example, which he says, I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always offering prayer with joy in my every prayer for you. So we'll say some prayers together, but we will mix it with joy and gratitude and encourage one another to do that. Appreciation. My last seed thoughts before we break up. People who practice appreciation not only enjoy better health and experience less mental illness, but they're also better equipped to ride out life's challenges and stresses. Appreciation is the fastest and most powerful way to experience the flow of connection between you and another person or object or issue. When you appreciate something with sincerity, you access the deep intelligence of your heart, which brings order and coherence to your mind and body. I've told you before that your heart is a very wise organ, not just a pump sending blood to the rest of your body, but it's a regulator of many things. It responds with emotion, it detects things, it connects us with other people. Wow. And the thoughts that we choose to cultivate affect the rhythm of our heart. And the rhythm of our heart affects every cell in the body. It makes it healthy or less healthy, according to what thoughts we're cultivating. So when Paul says in chapter 4, verse 8, finally, brethren, whatever is true, he gives a list of 8 things that he says we should let our mind dwell on. Let your mind dwell on these 8 things. Whatever is true, whatever is honourable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there's any excellence and anything worthy of praise, let your mind dwell on these things. There's a wonderful agenda, wonderful mental menu for us to focus on and absorb. So if you ever wonder what to think about, turn to Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, and there's a little list of things worthy of focusing our mind on. So, renewing our mind, Paul, attitude number one, the attitude of gratitude, determining to appreciate what we can. And I preach to myself too. I get as miserable as anyone else about the rain that keeps on coming every day. Till I stop to think, well, isn't it nice that my roof isn't leaking? And that's rather good, because I can remember when my roof was leaking 2 years ago when we were having our extension being built. And it was coming through the kitchen. And the game was to guess which hole is going to pop next. Where should we put a bucket? Should we put it in advance, or shall we wait till the water comes through and then move the bucket? So it was musical buckets. It was just wonderful. And wasn't it good that when you use the downstairs loo, you can get a shower at the same time? We had these opportunities to be positive. But now you see it's not raining, we take it for granted. I've got a car that has a roof that doesn't leak. That's nice too, when it's really raining hard. Sometimes I remember, well, at least you've got a car that keeps you dry when you're in it. But I'm probably worse than the rest of you. I get affected by circumstances. But then having to prepare a sermon to remind us how to think is good for me. So I've been a bit more positive in the last couple of days. I also... Olive Pryor. Who knows Olive Pryor? Yeah. When Christine and I got married 11 or 12 years ago, she gave us this little box. And it must have taken her ages. I'm standing in the wrong place and getting feedback. But there's about 20 or so little cards inside. Each one has got a small object stuck on it and a little thought. So, for example, a piece of cord reminds me of the importance of trust in a friendship. Ecclesiastes 4, verse 12. What verse is that referring to? Yeah, threefold cord is not quickly broken. So, from time to time, especially when I'm preaching, I remember this and bring it out so I can tell you all how to do it. Actually, I keep it on my desk in front of the computer occasionally. So that's a good key. Construct reminders to be grateful. Stick them on the walls. Maureen does it all through Swindon, doesn't she? I saw one of Maureen's post-its in Wood Street the other day.
Yeah.
So Maureen's leading the field here. So let's come on to the next part. Now, I want you just to feel completely free and relaxed about this. If you want to just stay sitting on your chair where you are, you're likely to be drawn into one of the discussion rooms. But in the moment, we'll all have the opportunity to stand up and move your chair to the table. If you'd like to use pen and paper, colours or whatever, to draw or write or doodle, express something about gratitude. Christine, do you want to say anything that I may forget?
Shall we sing a song before together?
Yes.
Count Your Blessings.
Yes. Now, there is a song called Count Your Blessings, name them one by one. It's a real golden oldie, when we think it's from Sankey. Disagree? Anyone know it?
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Yes. Do you know, I've never sung it in church before. But
really?
We've got the music from the internet. So we're going to sing that. It starts, when upon life's billows you are tempest tossed, when you are discouraged, thinking all is lost, count your blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done.